Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Hebrews chapter 2. We have been working through this chapter for a while, and in so doing, I've been trying to let this particular verse go, but I haven't been able to. And this week, as I was preparing my heart for the Word of God, I start reading ahead to the next sections, and people of God, I feel like God was saying, there's one thing you haven't covered yet. And so when we read this verse, in verse 8, it tells us that all things, how many things? All things are under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing. What did he leave? Nothing that is not subject. Now, I told you on Wednesday that as the church, the body of Christ, we should be carriers of his character, carriers of his precepts, and carriers of his glory. However, people of God, sometimes your past is so loud that it fights against what you're trying to carry. In other words, you began to tell yourself and remind yourself, Elder Lila, of everything you've been through. And you disqualify yourself from carrying. Even when God is like, no, we're still good. No, we're still good. And so we get to verses like this. And we read, all things are under his feet. And somewhere in our mind, all things becomes just our enemies. Watch. We read, all things are under his feet. Devin, and what we say is, okay, depression's under my feet, and low self-esteem is under my feet, and anger is under my feet, and we praise God for that. But why are you depressed? Why are you angry? The why always determines the what. And maybe, just maybe, you're not depressed because you're being attacked, you're depressed because you won't let your own mistake go. Maybe, just maybe, you're angry because you're mad at yourself because you can't believe you did that. Yes, thank, there we is. I can't believe I did that. See, I'm gonna talk to a couple of y'all that's gonna be honest. Lord, I'm not mad at nobody but me. I'm upset with me. Have you ever had one of those what was I thinking moments? What in the world was I thinking? Y'all can look at me in that tone of voice if you want to. Have you ever had one of those what was I thinking? I remember I asked one leader. He had made a really, really bad decision. He was getting older at the time, and he had made a bad decision. That thing came back and backfired on him, and I had a one-on-one with him, and I said, Bishop so-and-so, what were you thinking when you did that? He said, I must have been off my medicine. I can't believe I did that. But we find ourselves, hear me, we find ourselves sometimes in the pit that we dug. You in the pit with the shovel. And when you look up, ain't nobody up there. You didn't fall. Okay. You didn't fall in that pit. You didn't trip. Didn't nobody push you. You dug it. Come on, let's be honest in here. And so I began to meditate on this verse. All things. And God really pushed me today to say, there's this one more thing I need you to make sure that they know is under their feet. And I said, what is that? He said, their past. See? You see? See, y'all done missed all the good moments. See, not only is your present enemy and your future enemy under your feet as the body of Christ, but your past faults and your past failures, those are under your feet too. And so it is time out for you telling yourself what you can't do because of what you did. Come on, let's just go ahead and be honest before I move to my next verse. You did it. We through with that now? You did it. It was you. We done? Okay, that's under your feet. See, you see the pushback? If I would have said all of these other enemies is under your feet, then it would have, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But when I start telling you that your past is under your feet, you want to push back against what is also evident. All things under the feet of the body also means the mistake you made yesterday. So why are you holding yourself to that? Come on. I just got to let this groundwork go. Why are you sitting up there? There is now, therefore, no condemnation. There is no condemnation and no shame. See, you can't even tell your testimony right because you can't believe you did it. You don't even want to tell. You want to tell the cute version of your own testimony. Huh? Don't be telling the cute version. Tell the whole thing. Don't you tell the edited version. Talking about your testimony is, well, I only had one or two. You drank the bottle. Don't tell that. Don't you give that cute version of your testimony. It only happened once or twice. It happened every weekend for 10 years. Yo, don't be telling that. Somebody say, tell the truth. When we understand who God is in relationship to who we are, this is good news. I'll do it again. When we understand who God is in relationship to who we are, this is good news. Matter of fact, let me go one step further when we talk about all things being under your feet. Even the stuff you're still trying to work your way out of, you already have victory over. See, they didn't catch it. I'm going to lead a guard. Even the things that you are still trying to work your way out of, you already have victory over. Okay, I'll give you a very practical understanding. I'll give you a very practical understanding of this. Very, very practical. Okay, watch this. Elder Brittany had a car wreck a few weeks ago. Y'all with me? And she ain't got the new car yet. The car's totaled. The old car, the old blue one, totaled. You with me? She don't have a new car yet, but she already has the victory over the accident. No. Bishop, that don't make sense. How can she have victory over the accident when she don't have the car yet? Because the accident was unsuccessful. The accident was unsuccessful. All the babies went to the doctor. Everybody turned out fine, which means the weapon was formed and it did not prosper. So I already got the victory over the accident just because I'm still working through the process to get back to a state which is going to be better than where I was before the accident does not mean that I don't have the victory. So I'm not going to walk through my life like I'm not victorious. I'm victorious because it didn't work. It did not work. Unsuccessful. It failed. See, some of y'all got to see, y'all too scared of the devil. You got to tell the devil, you tried it. You low down joker, you. You tried it and it was unsuccessful. You tried to make me lose my mind, I didn't. You tried to make me abandon promise, I didn't. You tried to make me turn my back, I didn't. You tried to make me say God isn't good, I refuse. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord and be glad. You're not gonna make me turn my back on God. Now, sit down. So my past Uh-huh. My past is under my feet. Now, I came across, I know, thank you, Jesus. My past is under my feet. So I'm not going to live my present like I'm still in it. I'm just not. Wouldn't it be weird? Wouldn't it be real strange if as a grown man with three kids, I was still living like I was in elementary school? Wouldn't that be odd? This would be a little strange. Like if I got up every day and, you know, I was asking my wife to lay my clothes out and get my coloring books and my G.I. Joe lunchbox. I really wanted a metal G.I. Joe lunchbox. So if as a grown man, I still wanted my wife to my G.I. Joe lunchbox and cut my sandwich into stars with the cookie cutter, huh? There'd something be wrong with that, wouldn't it? So why are you still living in a time period that you're done with? It's over. Especially when you become a part of the body. Now, I'm about to show y'all some revelation. I'm going to be through. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Watch this. When I understand who God is in relationship to who I am, this is good news. When I understand who God is in relationship to who I am, this is good news. Especially when I become a part of the body. How many of you are willing to admit that you're part of the body of Christ? Yes. Okay. Now, do we also believe that he's the head of that body? Yes. We do? Yes. Okay. Now, as we're turning to Colossians, how many of you said you're part of the body of Christ? Okay. How many of you said that you believe he's the head of the body? Okay. Can my head go somewhere that my body don't go with it? See that body go right along there? Watch it. Notice how that body like, all right, we going. Notice that? Come on, it's going to come back and bite you in a minute. If I'm part of the body and the Lord is the head, where he is, there I may be also. We're kind of attached. We connected. We on the same page. Sounds simple, right? Okay, we at Colossians. He is the image of the invisible God. We talking about Jesus. The firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Stop. Let's go back to the verse before this. For by him all things were created, both in the heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Stop there for a second. This is where super smart people who really ain't paying attention start saying, see, he created the devil, and he created sin, and he created darkness. Well, watch. Darkness is absence. It's not actually a created thing. Darkness is absence. It's not a created thing. God said, let there be light. And the light separated the darkness. Go read Genesis. God never said, let there be darkness. Darkness was there on the face of the deep because God hadn't started talking yet. Which means darkness is a state void of God's voice. And as soon as God starts speaking, darkness had to back up. Because darkness is a state void of light. So when we start talking about darkness, which is sin, that's not a created thing. It's the absence of God's creation. Anytime God is not present, sin is present. It is impossible to, watch this, be out of God's presence and remain righteous. It's not gonna happen. And so when we see in this verse, all things have been created through him, that doesn't mean he created darkness. Don't get that twisted. And that means that because he didn't create darkness, that darkness still has to bow to him. It ain't stronger than him. Amen. Then he gets to this next verse. Put 17 up. Watch it. He's before all things. And in him, all things hold together. Come on, it's gonna get better. Put verse 18. He is also head of the body. The church. He's the beginning. The firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Go back, put verse 17 back up. He's before how many things? Okay. How many of you said you're part of the body? Oh, we ain't got as many hands. How many of you believe that he's the head of the body? Okay. And so if he's before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he's the head of the body, and I'm a part of the body. Put verse 17 back. Then that means the body is before all things, and in the body, all things hold together. Wait. If the body is before all things, what's before the body? Nothing. And if I'm a part of the body, and there's nothing before the body, how can my past be in front of me? This logic argument is bothering us, isn't it? And so if what I did yesterday is under his feet and he is ahead of all things, why in the world would I put my past in front of him? Which means that the only way to put my past in front of him is I got to get outside of him. Because this verse is true whether or not I comply or not. In order for your past to get before God, I got to get outside of God in order for the past to be God. Oh, I'm loving it. So when you're sitting there and you're ruminating on your history and allowing your history to become first place, it's becoming a functional savior. So when you allow the mistake you made when you was 21 years old to still be bothering you when you're 71 years old, right? Then what's happening is your 21-year-old issue is God. Because it's controlling the decisions that you make or do not make. It's controlling how you communicate or do not communicate with somebody. Okay, I'll get even more practical. So he broke your heart when you was 19. Now you've decided that you no longer ever want to see a man ever in your life another time. It ain't gonna happen. So now God has sent you everything you need, but your past is your controller. And then you pray and you're asking God to send you help. God is like, I'm trying. But you have another God that's louder than me. He said, we shall have no other gods before us, but many of us have other gods called our past before us. How many of you have ever made a mistake, listen, and then became timid in trying again? Okay. I played baseball. Y'all looking at me in a funny tone of voice today, and I'm enjoying myself. I played baseball, and in one game, Mick, I got hit. He hit me with a pitch, and I wanted to hit him in the face, but he popped me real good. And the first pitch, as I was in the box, hit me in the hip area, And I looked and they walked me. Cool. Next up to bat, he threw it outside again. And so we're taught to turn your back so your head is out the way. So I turn my back and he pops me. Boom. I'm looking at my dad over on the sideline. I'm looking at him like, we can just square up. Yeah. Let's just fight. I've been hit twice. Right. Now, watch this. The manhood reaction of the world is to just storm the mound. This is the reaction of the mound. This is the world, right? I'm looking at my father. And listen, if I would have stormed the mound, I would have had a temporary jolt of adrenaline, which, Drew, would have allowed my manhood to remain intact. Meekness actually was an assault on my manhood. I'm not going to let you get away with hitting me twice with the ball. And the reason that many of us need to become aggressive is because there was a smaller voice that people could not identify in the stands, which was this: I'm afraid to be hit again. If I just fight you, I don't have to face the truth, which is I'm afraid to be hit again. Fighting is easier. Facing the fear of being hit again is more difficult. I don't want to talk about the fact that I don't want to be hit. Therefore, I become somebody I do not need to be and clear the dugout. Some of y'all right now are clearing your dugout all because you won't face the fact that you're afraid of being hurt. And so you start operating in the emotions instead of being led by the spirit, because that's easier than admitting that the 2 times that you've been hit, the 10 times you've been hit, the 12 times you've been hit, the times you've been hit over the last 2 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years are so much that you don't know yourself no more. And you're so disconnected from God's origin of you that you don't even understand how to move in God, because you don't know who you are or who He is. Your relationship between you and God is so disconnected that all you do is operate from a fear state. You call it being cautious, but you're actually not being faithful. And so when we start seeing verses like this, He's before all things, including those fears, including your doubts. And here is the truth that I need you to all be honest about. Have I placed God as second to my emotions? I mean, be honest. Sit with that for a second. God, are you really first? Or is the way I feel first? The way I feel about it first? The way I feel about them first. Put verse 18 up. Look at what. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning. He's the beginning. He's the beginning. So when people get to talking about do it afraid, I will not. If you're going to do it, just do it afraid. Why would I do such a thing? Why would I do something with a demonic spirit? Just do it afraid. No. Why would I do that? I have to recognize I'm not supposed to have the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. All things are under His feet. And if we're part of the body, all things are under our feet. And the body is first. It's ahead of your emotions. This is what it means to walk in the spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's take one more step further. Then I got one more verse, and I'm through, for real, for real. If we're going to be honest about it, some of our emotions are super loud. And we tolerate it. We tolerate loud emotions by giving the emotions more place than we give the spirit. What do you mean? You sit up there and you got 20 books on your emotions and you have nothing about walking in the spirit. Mm-hmm. How to get over whatever your current emotional imbalance is. Are you saying that emotions are bad? No, we all got them. Jesus cried. No, for real. Jesus cried. But watch this. His emotions were not primary. They were secondary to the mission, to the Spirit of God. Emotions are terrible leaders. They make you say stuff you ain't supposed to say. Your emotions will drive you to a location and you don't even know how you got there. Huh? Your emotions will make you wake up in the wrong bed. Don't look at me like that. Your emotions will make you make a phone call you said you would never make. Your emotions will cause you to respond to that text message when you should have just went ahead and hit delete. Your emotions will allow you to push play on a video that you should have never seen. Your emotions will cause you to get them back when the truth is they're just like you without Jesus. Your emotions will cause you not to see yourself, but to see your fault in other people. Huh? Your emotions will keep you lonely. Your emotions will keep you bound. Your emotions will keep you separated from the love of God. Your emotions will cause you to only read the scripture as something to beat you, not to love you. Your emotions will cause you to come to church and get nothing from church. Your emotions will fall in love with the dance break, but don't want the word. Your emotions will cause you to love people you should not. Your emotions will make you marry the wrong person. Your emotions will put you on a vacation with a hustler. Yes, they will. Your emotions will make you buy what you ain't supposed to buy. Sell what you not supposed to sell, even yourself. Your emotions will get you out of your right mind. Your emotions will have you drinking the wrong thing, taking the wrong thing. Your emotions will have you eating the wrong thing with the wrong person. Your emotions will tell you that everything is all right when everything is all bad. Your emotions will keep the Bible closed but keep the TV on. Your emotions will keep you off your knees but it will keep you, come on now, in the club. Your emotions. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's not that you can't have them, but they're not supposed to be ahead of God. You will have no other gods before you. That thing got to get under your feet. I need a couple of people in here to say, listen, I don't care what's going on, every emotional imbalance, get under. You better treat it like a bad roach. Instead, what we start doing to our emotions is you want to study them. Let it crawl on your hand and bring it up close. See what it's like. Lead that emotion where it's supposed to be. You don't get to come to this level. You don't, come on, emotions. You don't get to come up here where my mind is supposed to be. You stay down there where you're supposed to be. Emotion, you are behind me. You're not before me. You're not even beside me. You're behind me. Come on now. I'm a part of the body. And the last time I checked, the body is first. You making it
easy, but I've been through a lot. You seem to be making it easy, but you don't know what I've been through. I don't even remember what I did sometimes. I done been through so much. You know, maybe your story ain't like my story. My story bad. It's real bad. Come on, that's how we do. Ain't that how we do? My stuff bad. My stuff real bad. My stuff ugly. It's real ugly. Come on now. You ain't seen no more ugly than we see in the scriptures. Come on now. You ain't seen no ugly like David ugly. You talk about ugly, you ain't seen no ugly like David ugly. David had everything before him. He look at this woman, get this woman. Had a woman's husband killed, then come back sleep with the woman. Have a baby with the woman die. And then, the baby dies. Then he go ahead and marry the woman. That's some messed up stuff. That's some ugly. And God still used him.
God still used him.
You ain't seen no ugly like Paul ugly. Okay? I mean, you want to see some ugly. Paul got some ugly on him, huh? I mean, Paul was killing people for sport. Come on now. He was arrogant. He was boastful. He had his chest out. He couldn't nobody tell him nothing. He thought he was smarter than everybody else. He was zealous. He was mean. He was evil. And God still used him. Because when God get a hold of you and start moving you, and when God get a hold of you and start changing you, and when you finally say, my bad, God, everything that I put first is not supposed to be first. God's first. And some of us in this room, I need you to go ahead and put yourself in time out. Just go ahead and put yourself in time out. You've been too busy. Put yourself in time out. Give yourself, we used to have in elementary school, we called them blue tickets. Every time you get in trouble, you had to go pull a blue ticket. You got three blue tickets. You couldn't go outside. Some of y'all done pulled 8 blue tickets. You need to keep yourself in the house. You ain't supposed to go out because you're not ready. When you pulled them blue tickets, kid, you knew you wasn't ready. The teacher was like, you ain't ready. And some of us ain't ready to be outside yet. You ain't ready to be outside. You still don't make good decisions. You got to get accountable. You got to get around some other people. You're not ready yet. And so please heal me. Hear me, hear me, hear me. He's first. Who's first? Who's first? Who's first? Who's first? God's first, not us. And if he's first, all things are behind first. Whatever you're trying to do this year, however you're trying to move this year, whatever level you're trying to get to, stop talking yourself out of it. You needed that? I heard you. You needed that. Stop talking yourself out of it. Because the devil always got at least a dozen ways why you shouldn't be great. Stop talking yourself out of that. Come on now, God made you, and he knew what he was doing. So go ahead and walk in that. But last time I walked in it, it didn't work. Wait. Why would you put that first? Why would you put that first? Last time I tried, that didn't work out. Why would you put that first? That's behind the Lord. This is the good news. What's the good news? The good news is it's not first. What? Even that. You got to get to the point where when somebody tells you what you used to do, you go, come on, tell the rest of the story. Tell the whole thing. Somebody gets talking about you used to do this and you used to do that and you used to do, that's all you heard. How much time you got? How much time you got? Let me tell you how ratchet it really was. Because that version you got pretty tame. You ain't even heard half of it. Huh? Come on now, how many of y'all willing to admit that you got a little ratchet history? Huh? Come on, wave your hands if you got a ratchet history. Okay, now that's secondary. You don't let that run nothing. That don't control nothing. It's not before God. If God be for you, who can be against you? That history ain't running nothing. It ain't nothing but a testimony. It ain't nothing but power. It ain't nothing but strength, because that thing did not accomplish nothing. But instead, it made me stronger. Instead, it caused me to fall in love with Jesus. Instead, it caused me to love him the more, because I could have died in my sleep last night. That thing could have taken me out. That thing could have left me by myself. But God loves me. And when you start figuring out that God loves you, why does it matter that people don't? Orlando is my friend. He is. He's my friend. I love him. He's my buddy. I love him. Many pastors don't have a lot of friends. Orlando's my friend. And Orlando, I remember he told me, he'd be all right. He told me he was having, what do they call it, seasonal depression? Ain't that what they call it? When it get winter time and the sun ain't out, he feels some type of way. And that's, y'all remember I said that's my friend? It's my friend. And so, man, it's seasonal depression. I wasn't letting that off when he talked to me. Y'all missed that.
I'm not, no. Man, that season of depression, I heard him out. No, we ain't gonna do that. That's my friend. See, y'all, they missed what I'm saying. See, what we do is we surround ourselves with people who coddle your dysfunction. So what the devil would love is I go, oh man, that's bad. Woo. So you mean to tell me the darker it gets, the sadder you feel? Ooh, man, I bet that is bad. I bet that is terrible. Yeah, I bet that do feel bad. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to do. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Just wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say. No, that's not a friend. A friend says, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. If that thing try to come up on you, you send me a text message. Come on, we're not going to do that. Why you want to be a man with everything else except for when it comes to being a punk about being delivered? Come on now, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. That's what real friends do. And that's what the body does. The body will support you when you ain't feeling good, but it's going to tend to you until you feel better. And it ain't going to sit there and coddle you and allow you to keep not feeling well. That's not what a body does. A body calls you out. That's what the body does. For real. Like I told y'all before, when I stapled my pinky all the way through with one of them old school industrial staplers on my grandmother's house, soon as she looked at it and got the staple out, then she proceeded to give me a whooping. Soon as the staple was out. Because she said, didn't I tell you not to staple your finger? Now on the outside you go, that was cruel. That wasn't cruel, that was the reinforcement of a standard. Yeah. It was not cruel, that was not mean. It was the reinforcement of the standard. Because what lesson will I teach you if I allow you not to, watch this, to forget the standard because you got hurt by not following it? So you want me to lower the standard because you got hurt for not following the standard. I'm going to make sure you good. Now we're going back into reinforcement mode. Why was you even here? Why'd you even make that phone call? Why'd you even act like that? I done got you out of harm's way. But good God, what was you thinking? Now, good God, what was you thinking? For him to be first, we got to believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But hear this. And this is my last passage and I'm done. When you understand that he's first, I mean really understand, just give yourself a visual. Take everything you're struggling with and put it behind Jesus. If you really need to do an exercise, take all the stuff going through your head that's giving you a struggle, write it on a sheet of paper. And then put Jesus in front of it. And what that should show you is all that's secondary to Jesus, don't have no power over that guy in the front. But I don't understand how do you just decide that that's true? Do you feel something? Is it a switch? How do I get to the point where he's first and everything else is second? Okay. Put the 2 Corinthians. Here we go. 2 Corinthians. There we go. Oh, that started verse 1. It should be chapter 5. Oh, we put that in there wrong. Oh, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's all right. She's going to get it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Started verse 17. She's over there clicking buttons. It's going. She going to get it together. But y'all going to turn in y'all paper Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 17. Mm-hmm. See, there's a good reader. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what kind of creature? Okay. Qualitative, not quantitative. The old things passed away. I'm going to close my Bible. Behold, new things have come. If I'm in Christ, the old things. What old things? Uh-huh. Even that one. That dead. Why you keep putting on life support? Why do you keep, listen, how do I revive old things? I revive old things by talking about old things. I revive old things by feeding old things. I revive old things by going around other people who only know how to see me through the lens of those old things. How do I revive old things? I revive old things by talking about old things. I revive old things by feeding old things. I revive old things by going around people who only see me through the lens of those old things. If my circle only wants the unsaved me, I'm gonna keep being around old things. If I continue to talk about those old, good old times, and you ain't got no testimony of Jesus, but you only got the testimony of debauchery, you're going to stay in old things. If you continue to feed said old things. Listen, some of us are not even mature enough for any social media. See how quiet it is? Everybody can't handle everything. Seriously, everybody can't handle everything. For some of y'all, the wrong song, come on, you making a phone call. You sitting up in there driving, and that song come on, you be like, oh. What you doing? Because, watch this, if it triggers, it feeds. If it triggers, it feeds. The disconnection of triggers demand that we think on whatsoever good, whatsoever lovely. That's a practice. You have to actively think about something different. That's not passive, actively. You have to actively occupy yourself with thoughts that please God. To actively occupy yourself with those thoughts, stop thinking about the foolish stuff. Delete the number. Delete the number. And all the photos. And videos. And inboxes on all the apps. Somebody say, even that. I know it's a sober word, but y'all ain't got to stop putting that stuff first. That's under his feet too. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I honor you and give you praise. You're good, kind, and merciful. Lord, forgive us for making you secondary. Today, we make you primary. Today and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Clap those hands.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, I challenge you to make hearing the Word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.